And this time I'm gonna count to six.
Why would you change it?
Okay, I'll count to seven.
It doesn't matter, but like... Oh no.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Yay! Genuinely, that was very fun. But we can do even more fun.
All
Hello,
right.
one...
I'm sorry!
Hello and welcome everyone to the Mopervale Monthly. As always, there will be spoilers here. I'm your host Maplestrip, and today I am joined by Sauce.
Hello.
Welcome, Sauce. Sauce here is my very cute girlfriend.
What, do you want me to respond to that?
but that's not too relevant right now, because we're going to talk about Elke de Shive and a different webcomic than usual, Val and Isaac. As usual, we're going to start out with some Elke de Shive talk, but if you want to skip straight to the Val and Isaac talk, you can look in the description and I'm sure I'll have a timestamp in there. But I always start these podcasts, whenever I have a new guest, like I do today, by asking, how did you first come across Elke de Shive?
So I first found Elke de Shive on, I think it was called the Bad Webcomics Wiki, which had a page about I Dream of Genie Bottle by C.D. Rudd.
Oh. Yeah.
And that page said, if you want a good comic about gender, go read Elke de Shive instead. And I think that's how I found it. I was like 13 at the time.
This just feels so right.
Why?
I Dream of Genie Bottle is like deeply related to Elke de Shive in my mind as well. I think they share the forum and stuff.
Okay.
But also, of course, Elke de Shive is just so good.
Yeah, I don't mean to like talk shit about I Dream of Genie Bottle. I haven't read it in... ever, like, years?
Well, sadly, it hasn't really been going much. I don't know. I feel like it has, like, continued at some point, but...
I basically stopped reading it the moment I found Elke de Shive, and also I only read it for, like, a day before I found Elke de Shive, so... Yeah.
Yeah. You were, like, 13, so... When you caught up, how far along was the webcomic?
So, I seem to recall that the around the time that I caught up was... Squirrel Prophet, maybe? The card tournament, right? The one in color.
Yeah, yeah. Huh.
Because I remember waiting for pages for that.
Now I'm trying to, like... I know you're only, like, a few years younger than I am, and that doesn't quite sound right, but that's very cool.
I just found this at a young age, okay?
Yeah, but I remember also catching up to, like, just before then, but I was much older.
Like, I started reading around the... end of 2012, the start of 2013. Then it took me like a week to catch up.
I think I'm just realizing that I've been reading this webcomic for like a decade now.
I mean, I know I have been.
Time keeps going.
It sure does.
You were into webcomics at the time?
No, not at all. Kind of not really.
Yeah, I know. I know. Like, how did you even come across webcomics back then, especially something like Elke de Shive?
Well, via that page, I think.
Or Genie comic.
I don't remember really how I stumbled upon this. I know I found it originally on DeviantArt.
Oh, that makes sense.
Which is a terrible place to read anything serialized.
Yeah, it's not the most comfortable place to read webcomics. I've read quite a few there, but I also like looked at a lot of like, especially like genderbender stuff and DeviantArt. Around the same time.
Yeah, I don't quite remember how I got there. It was some internet rabbit hole, basically.
Yeah. Well, it's been a long while since our last episode, so we basically have like at least half a year of webcomic to catch up on here. I figured we'd just quickly go through all of the major events in the road ahead, which is the arc we're having right now.
Yeah.
It's with lots of time skips, we're basically going through the big time skip, but only like bits and pieces, it seems like.
Yeah, we're just making short jumps every time.
Yeah.
Stuff keeps happening, then we jump, more stuff happens, and then we jump again.
I think it's comfortable. I think it's very efficient.
I think these are important events to be setting up.
Yeah.
But it also does very much feel like Dan is like, I want to address this. Oh, shit, I forgot to address this. Now I need to address this. You know?
Yeah, like for the most recent thing, which was Ted's haircut, Dan did mention, like, I figured I'd just show this when the college days start, but then I found a reason to do it here. And I'm happy with that, really happy, because it's very good, but also...
I do find it quite funny, because I'm imagining, like, soon, TM, we will finally be past the prologue of El Gunish Shive.
Yeah.
So to speak.
Oh, Dan I do love imagining it.
Sorry, Dan has mentioned in the past that it's supposed to be about them in college the whole time.
Yeah.
But it just got really caught up in all the high school stuff.
I do like to imagine that there will just be like 70 years of webcomics coming up, but I'm afraid that's not quite possible.
Yeah, I don't think so.
But we're definitely not in the endgame yet.
No, I think there's still quite a bit going. I think Dan still has ideas, still has drive.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see the college days.
The one thing I have noticed a bit is that Dan seems to be taking, like, lots of days off, which is fair. Put yourself first and stuff, but the frequency has been increasing, I feel.
I think, honestly, the last half year it hasn't been, but, like, last year it was really bad.
Yeah.
But it's hard to say. It kind of comes and goes, ebbs and flows.
Yeah, I'm just afraid of webcomics dying, in a way.
No, I totally get that.
I don't think this one will.
I mean, Okay Shop has been going for 2 decades, so I feel like it might go for another decade more.
Only time will tell.
Road ahead, though. A lot of stuff here. It was really fun to read the arc Brother, in which Diane meets Noah and goes all big sister mode on him.
Yeah. Yeah, like the... Are you eating well?
Yeah, it's very good. I think this is a relationship that I'm happy that then, like, started up here. I think it's a very good one.
Yeah.
We see Vladia, Wolf, Abraham, and Raven all looking for Megas together.
I love Vladia's design. I just love it.
Vladia's back!
She's so good. She's one of my favorites now. I say, having seen her now once, twice.
Yeah, I think she's in like... I'm not even sure if she's in more than one panel in this arc.
She's in 2 or 3.
Probably. We're all very excited to finally see her back, because honestly, we've been wanting her back for like so long.
Yeah, it's been, genuinely it's been decades.
Mm-hmm.
It's been, well, not decades, but a decade plus.
Yeah. Well, we haven't really seen her since before Grace's birthday party, so.
Mm-hmm.
We've hardly even heard of her since, so very exciting.
Yeah.
We also, this is like something I found very interesting, is Susan dealing with change in her life.
Yeah. Yeah, that one was quite something. I'm not quite sure what the whole, like, because she got contacted via, like, comments.
Yeah.
And it was quite ominous.
Yeah, it's just very weird.
And then she did a lot of deduction with it.
Yeah. The deduction was interesting as well. It is suggested that Zeus, or the new Jerry, that he sent those comments.
Mm-hmm.
Though it might also be Pandora, who knows?
Oh, I would love to see Pandora again.
Well, I think there's like a suggestion in the road ahead that Pandora might be coming back.
I would be so excited about that.
Because I think I did see like Girl Immortal, I think that was in the end of like Brother.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big mystery right now.
Yeah. I was just leafing through the road ahead a bit, through Father, and it's just blushy Vladia's great.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. I think this little arc of Susan is very interesting, though, because I very much relate to the idea of things changing and kind of struggling with that. Maybe not quite as much as she did at that moment, because it kind of all hit her at a ton of, like a truck.
Mm-hmm.
When she realized that she would no longer be working there, and she would no longer be going to school there, and, you know, suddenly you go to a different phase in your life.
Yeah. I've personally not really felt that way ever. Like, big life changes just kind of happen to me, and I roll with them, but then, like, very small short-term changes just destroy me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm much more vulnerable to a sudden change of plans than moving somewhere else.
Yeah, different people have different experiences.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I also really liked about that little arc is how in the end Susan ends up using her fairies in order to calm her mind.
Yeah, that was interesting.
I think there's some very interesting things to talk about there, especially like in regards to maybe something like drugs and alcohol as well. Mm-hmm. But I don't think this is the episode for us to talk about that.
Okay.
It's I think the visuals were very, very evocative, at least. It's a very interesting thing for Susan to do, and something I think a lot of people relate to as well, with all those intrusive thoughts.
Hmm.
So many intrusive thoughts. Definitely more than I have.
Yeah, there were a lot of them, yeah.
Hmm. And that brings us to Ted's haircut again, which is great.
Yeah, I like it.
I like the art a lot.
Yeah. It's funny to see it in the actual comic now, because we saw it before in an NP. Actually quite some time ago.
Yeah.
Like, years?
And I'm kind of excited to see this. Like, it feels like a more extroverted Ted. At least the way that she appears in the NP, right?
Yeah, I suppose. I'm not so sure if that's going to translate to the actual comic as well.
I can imagine it's doing that, you know?
Yeah, it's just a question of will it.
It's like a little bit more punk, which I think is kind of really cool for Ted.
Really? I never had that impression.
Well, Ted is the kind of person who would like stay very introverted, but like that's something that can change, right?
No, I mostly mean the punk thing. Like,
yeah, not sure if that's the right word. It's definitely spunk. Just add an S to it.
I'm not sure. Maybe I've just got very different ideas about how that look is.
Mm. Well, it's not really a look, but more like a vibe, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Might just be me, though.
I don't know.
Well,
it's been a while since I read the MP, for the record. Like, I haven't read it since its first appearance.
It was video game opinions. Like, I looked at the first panel, I was like, yeah, that's actually kind of a cool look. Even the... just something that Dan always struggles with, in my opinion, is lipstick. And I think it looks kind of good here.
Yeah, there's not much in the way of lips. So lipstick is hard.
Mm-hmm. It does look a bit weird, but I think Ted kind of made it work in video game opinions.
I wouldn't know anymore. It's been a while.
Well, there's more recent NPs to talk about.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Who is Ellen? The tabletop role-playing game campaign is still going.
Yeah, this one has been going for quite long, I feel.
We talked about it as well in the previous episode. Which
yeah.
just goes to show how long this one is.
But I do want to say, because the other thing I think of when I think of a long NP is Parable, right?
Yeah.
And this, I don't know how they compare in terms of actual length, but this at least doesn't feel as long as Parable did. You know what I mean?
Well, I think a lot of it is like more directly compelling.
Yeah.
Because it is like character building for a lot of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Character building for all of them.
I love Larry.
Yeah, Larry is so good.
Larry is amazing. The design is great, and then just the character. And I love seeing... Anytime Larry shows up as Bard Larry, amazing.
I've become a true Larry yet.
A real Larry maniac.
Larry maniac. Larry is very good here. I'm a big fan. All the characters are great, of course. And honestly, now I say Ellen, Larry, and George is just a really good collection of characters.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
It's a very interesting collection of characters, you know? Something like Good Munchie 2 kind of had a problem that all the characters were a bit too easygoing with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Well, these are all, like, especially with Rich there too, it's a lot more conflicting opinions and stuff, right?
Yeah, but I do think this really is like a sort of Rich redemption arc in a way.
Yeah, maybe a bit too much even in that direction.
I have to say, I'm very much a fan of Sunshine, Lollipops and Rainbows, and if every character is the best character there could ever be, I would still be very happy.
Same. I don't know. It's hard. I think it's very interesting anyway. They're still very different characters from Larry, but that's also partly because Larry just turned into yet another like gender bender aficionado.
Well, it is El Gunis Shive after all.
True words have never been spoken. As for news, there's not too much. On Tumblr, someone's hosting like a trans swag tournament, which is about which webcomics characters have the best like transgender swag.
Mm-hmm.
What are the best transgender non-binary webcomic characters? It's like a poll thing.
Yeah.
It might already be finished by the time that I finish recording this or I finish editing this. But I figured I'd mention it here because it's kind of fun.
Yeah, I briefly gave it a look, but As someone who doesn't read that many webcomics,
yeah, then you wouldn't know any of them.
I know three characters, and two of them are from Elgin and Shive.
Yeah, it's probably like Ted Allen, is it?
Yeah, it's Ted Allen, and then there's also... Ooh, is this...
Rain.
Oh, yeah, no, I was going to say, this could almost be a useful segue into what we're going to talk about. Space Dread is in there.
Space Dread is in there. Yes, this is a good segue. Because what we're talking about today is the webcomic called Val and Isaac. This is a webcomic that has been running since... I have no clue, because the... Well, that's kind of an issue. Like, I think it's been running since like 2014 or something, maybe even 2013. It has been going for a while, but most of the archives date back to 2018 when they were re-uploaded to Tumblr.
It does very much
in a way that's more accessible.
It does very much seem to be like 2016, maybe the earliest. I'm not sure. It's hard to verify.
I should have done my research. Either way, it's a very good webcomic, and I recommend it to everyone.
It is.
So when did... I want to ask, when did you start getting into Val and Isaac? But I know exactly when.
Yeah, you sent it to me.
Yep.
It was great. It's such an interesting comic. Like, it starts out very freeform. It's just a lot of doodles and it's like single pages and stuff.
Yeah.
But it evolves into so much more than just that.
Yeah, it really does. I think someone mentions, and I should have added this to my notes, but someone mentioned that it's kind of like the opposite to Elkin and Shive or like a lot of other webcomics, where usually the story is like extremely structured and every... there was such a good quote, actually. Maybe I can find it.
I think in general, the continuity in Val and Isaac is quite loose. Yes, there is continuity, but the temporal relations of different arcs are very vague. Which it's quite appealing to me, actually. I like the just sort of relaxed vibes. It's very gag-a-day in some ways.
Yeah, it's often extremely gag-a-day. I like how Blazer Blade put it, where it feels like if a story has 100 frames, then Dan of Elkin and Shive draws like 200 frames for it, while Val and Isaac only draws like one frame for it. It's all very like efficient use of art. And very compressed, but it's also just a great gag-a-day experience most of the time.
Yeah, there's some great stuff there. There's lots of returning jokes as well.
There's so many really good recurring jokes. I love the joke, for example, where all of the other characters, like, this only happened like four times, but all of the other characters just transform into one character, and it's...
That one is so good.
So silly.
That one's very good.
The easiest way usually for me to go through these things, I mean, unless we want to go through the entire thing chronologically, but it's quite hard.
Oh, for sure.
Also because, like, this webcomic is achronological in a lot of ways. Like, there's tons of flashback sequences and stuff, and you do see plots advance because there is, like, a timeline. I mean, there is definitely a timeline. A lot of things aren't very clear on where on the timeline they fit, though.
Yeah, sometimes an arc can be before one that's already happened, but you wouldn't know because there's just, like, no references that, like, anchor them in the timeline anywhere, really.
And sometimes you just get to see how two characters meet for the first time, and that's also always great.
Yeah, oh, I love it when that happens.
It's so good. Especially when our favorite characters, Minnow and Doris, met for the first time.
Oh, that one is so good. Oh, I love them so much.
Minnow and Doris are the best.
They're great. They're like, genuinely, I want to say, like, one of my favorite couples in webcomics. Which I know, I've said, I don't read that many webcomics, but that is high praise for me anyway.
I mean, they might just be my favorite couple in webcomics too. Like, these two girls are just the cutest creatures in the universe.
They are just so good. I love them. I love them. I want them to be happy. I want to see them kiss.
For people who don't know, maybe I should mention this first. Val and Isaac is a webcomic that takes place entirely in outer space. There's no humans here, which is easy to, like, not even think about in my experience. But it's all aliens. They're all, of course, very human and very cute. And it's about space mercenaries. That's the right term, right?
Yeah, they do contract work.
It's a crew of the badass mercenary woman, Val, her ace wizard friend, Isaac. And they also have a mechanic, Minnow. And there's a whole ensemble, I won't say crew, but no, that's the crew of the ship. That's the ship they go through. There's a whole ensemble cast around them, of course. a lot of recurring characters, other mercenaries, friends, family, a lot of family, which is really fun.
There's so much family, and they're all great. Genuinely,
yeah.
Like, yeah, they're so good. I love Minho's parents. I love Dredd's parents. I love Isaac's dad and sisters. It's all so good.
I even love like Vel's family, even though there's so much drama there.
Yeah, there's so much there.
Vel comes from a fascist empire, and her mother kind of took the side of the fascists. Now it's very unclear, but they haven't spoken to each other in very many years, and Vel thinks she's dead, so it's a whole thing going on there.
Yeah, at several points throughout the comic, people basically recognize her as wearing the armor of the formerly oppressive empire. It's been a long time, like several decades, since the empire itself has like fallen.
Yep, 20 years.
People keep bringing it up to her, and then, yeah.
One of my favorites is like one guy tries to flirt with her by being like, oh, you're wearing one of the Kaskar uniforms, but this one is very modified compared to how they would have been in their prime. It was illegal to modify those uniforms. Did you know this? I also know this about them, and I also know that about them. And meanwhile, she's like, I'm going to break every bone in your body.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so good.
This dork is so terrible. Okay, questions. Sarah asks, which character in Vel and Isaac is the most gender?
I honestly want to say Minho.
Yeah, I totally do get that. Because
she's so cute. She's amazing.
She really knows to be dorky too.
It's
you
like,
know?
For me, gender is a lot about also like just personality in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And she just hits all the right spots for me.
Yeah.
She's perky. She's like
snarky sometimes.
Yeah, she's smart. She's like, oh, she's so good. Yeah. She's gay, of course. It's important.
Yeah, I mean, you're not gender unless you're gay.
Yes.
Like, obviously the answer is gender wizards is the most gender.
Yeah, that seems a bit too easy. Too easy.
Too on the nose. Well, I think a lot of people will answer Space Dread.
Yeah.
She's just the
canonically trans.
The thing with Space Dread is she basically learned magic in large part in order to obtain gender euphoria.
Yes.
That's literally what she said.
She wants to be a perfect little grill.
Perfect little grill, yes. So I love when she was talking with Isaac, the wizard. And Isaac was talking about, like, yeah, I learned magic in order to experience more of the world and see everything it has to offer and experience everything. And then he asks her, like, why did you learn magic? And she's like, gender euphoria. And it's like, oh, the internal world, just as magnificent and complex as the external world. And it's so good.
I generally think this webcomic is really good at, like, characters, in a way. Like, I know webcomics are good at characters. That's, like, their thing, right? But
it can vary, but
this one has very strong characters.
There is some simplicity to them, but they're all just, they have these complexities. I love them so much.
They're all so memorable. They're all so likable. It's just so good.
That is definitely the main thing. They're all very memorable and likable.
I think the designs are also really good. There was this one Tumblr ask where someone was like, how do you design the aliens? And Treadlosity, the author, responded by saying, there needs to be one thing about them that makes them not human. And I think that works really well.
Yeah, and I think it's very interesting the way Tread has gone about that. Because usually it's like such a simple detail. Besides color, of course, like everyone is just one bright color, which is, it just makes me go, yes, I like this. I like bright colors. Just put bright colors in a webcomic and I automatically like it. But other than that, it's like design details. Like, what is even going on with Vel's hair, you know?
The what comic is doesn't even know. There's literally a comic where, like, a hairdresser looks at it and just has an existential break because of it.
Yeah, like, is that hair? Is that skin?
What was that?
More niche characters or like outside of the main cast tend to be more like wildly different, which is also really fun.
They can be very outlandish and it's very cool.
Yeah. The fashion is great too, by the way, which again comes back to the bright colors as well. I love this moment where they're always wearing dresses, for example, and it's just wild. It's great.
Yeah, it's very good. It's also, so the dress Minho's wearing in that, I think, is like the same dress she was wearing in like a doodle pretty early on. And it's such a nice dress.
Yeah, it's kind of fun how the webcomic starts out with doodles and stuff.
Yeah.
You had written down this question: who is the main cast, and when do characters get promoted to it?
Yeah, so I can kind of explain what I mean. And like, so this is an ensemble cast comic, right?
Yeah.
And basically from the start, it's pretty clear that you have Val and Isaac.
Yeah, the first panel is Val and Isaac, kablam, kabloomy.
Kablam, kabloomy, indeed. And of course, as the titular characters, they are the main cast. But over time, more and more characters kind of get promoted to main cast.
To the point where you could easily get like 10 or 20 pages without Val or Isaac popping up at all.
Yeah, like I would argue that Minnow starts as a side character, but after not too long, Minnow becomes a main character as well, especially when she meets Doris and her parents come up. And I think it generally a good barometer for when does a character become main cast is when we meet their parents.
that's fair. I do think Minnow turns into a main character like pretty early on, like maybe earlier than you think.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to say.
But I would also say that back in the early days, I think Garla was a main character.
I think Garla's still like pretty close to a main character in many ways.
I think these days she's more like a secondary character, but I think back then she was kind of like designed as one of the main characters. There were these like sketchbook arts where it's like the four of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Minnow and Garla and Val and Isaac.
Yeah, well, sometimes it is still like that.
I feel like we haven't seen Garla much lately, which is too bad. Well, we mostly see her role as a mother, which is kind of fun. Hunter is a great boy.
Yeah, she also briefly dates Space Dread. And then there's the whole thing of, like, Space Dread interacting with Hunter a lot.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I love the little comic where Space Dread and Hunter are both, like, skating in the skate park.
Yeah, and then there's also, like, are you my stepmom now? And then Space Dread is like, yes, do this chore for me or something.
That's yet another moment where Space Dread is just the most gender, by the way.
Oh, it's like, no, she's like, oh, yeah, now you will lose at this game against me because I tell you, so, because I say so.
Yeah, Space Dread is such a dork. She's, like, the most badass, ridiculous, over-the-top mercenary in existence, but she's also just the biggest dork.
Well, Space Dread is specifically an assassin, right?
Yeah, she's specifically an assassin.
Yeah.
And she... I love this moment where Val and Space Dread are doing a mission together, and Val is out of ammo, and Space Dread does not want to repeat any of the tricks. She's run out of tricks, and she doesn't want to repeat to these fools.
Yeah, so that's her equivalent of being out of ammo, is she's out of tricks.
She can just repeat the tricks, but no, it wouldn't be, like, awesome.
Yeah, there's also an early comic where Minnow and Dread are together in a fight. Or, no, Val and Dread are in a fight together, and Val says, Minnow thinks you're extra. What does that mean? Because they're both old, apparently.
They are. Minnow is very canonically, like, 10 years younger, at least.
Oh,
like,
yeah, no, Minnow is early 20s, and Val is, like,
late 30s,
yeah.
Yeah.
But she also doesn't know what her age is because of all of these calendars and clocks and different planets.
Yeah. I really appreciate that it's a webcomic about adults, by the way.
Yes.
Just adults being funny. Adults being funny is good.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of media tends to be about teens.
Mm-hmm.
Just in general. I guess it's the widest net, so to speak. I don't remember who said this, but adults have been teens, but teens have not been adults.
Yeah. I think teens can still get into this webcomic because everything is, as I said, like so silly and bright colors and everything.
Yeah, oh, it's so good.
And I think teens can still relate to characters like Minnow and Doris, who are just younger than the rest of the cast.
Yeah.
Which I think helps.
I think Minnow is specifically stated to be 24 at some point.
I forgot exactly how old Doris was.
Doris is specifically stated to be 24. There's a comic that's...
Yeah.
Like, okay. Catalogues her growth.
For some reason,
it's like Minnow or Doris is a baby. It's just a full-size robot anyway.
Yeah. For some reason, I remember Doris being, like, 18, but that doesn't make any sense, I suppose.
No, Doris is in her early 20s, early to mid-20s.
Mm. Okay, let's go to the next thing. YD12K asks the very important question, Val or Isaac?
I'm going to say Val, hands down. I'm sorry, Isaac is great, close second, but Val's gay.
Yeah, I mean, Isaac is ace, which is also very good.
Oh, for sure. Oh, the ace representation in this comic is great.
Yeah.
I particularly like there's like seduction magic and stuff, and it does not work on Isaac.
Yeah, it's a classic. Azuri's seduction magic is also amazing, by the way.
Also the siren song and stuff.
Honestly, you could make a whole podcast about individual characters here. But I really like both too, but I will also go for Val, mostly because Val's backstory is just so much more intriguing.
Very much, yeah.
There's a lot going on there. I think there's a lot of potential there because her relationship with her siblings and her parents is just very complex.
Yeah.
As in, she hasn't seen her brother since he was like a baby.
I think Val and Minnow are the source of the most intrigue in the storyline, in the story of the comic.
Yeah.
Val is from the collapsed empire, and it's unclear what happened to her between the collapse and now, and just in general between her like teens and now.
Yeah, and she's also like very emotionally compromised, you know?
Yeah, she has so many issues. She has
so much trauma.
All the trauma, but also like the conditioning to never cry and not emotionally open up to people too much, and it's just...
A great setup for a lot of jokes too, which is great. I think it's so good.
There's this one comic, it's pretty recent, where she's looking in the mirror. This is part of a series where all the main characters are looking into a mirror. And so everyone else is just like doing something funny in the mirror. And then Val just stares blankly into the mirror, almost cries, continues to stare blankly into the mirror. And that is just...
Yeah.
That is her character in a nutshell. Mm-hmm. It is very good.
Well, I think most of the time she doesn't even get to the almost crying part.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
I love this moment where she says, like, I'm feeling emotions again. Do you remember emotions?
Yeah, and everyone is like, or I think it's Minnow who's like,
yeah.
You don't feel emotions?
Yeah. It's such a great moment. It's very well drawn.
Yeah.
But I would say that Isaac also has, like, intrigue going on, but it's a lot more recent or a lot more, like, vague with whatever's going on with T.
Yeah, it's really hard to wrap a finger around because we just don't have much for it yet.
Yeah.
What we've had so far has felt almost like one of it almost was an Easter egg and the other is just, it's all cryptic.
It's extremely cryptic. It might be related to him having no soul.
Oh yeah, he has no soul. That comes up in just a gag at some point.
Yeah, and then it comes up in another gag later on, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, or like has a, I guess I don't have a soul. He just has like a moment of like, oh, I don't have a soul.
It's like talking about how, yeah, a soul, everyone has a soul. Souls are just very easy to come by. There are a lot more souls than you think there are. And then it's like, why aren't you crying?
Yeah.
Or like feeling pain because there's like something that hurt directly the soul or something.
Yeah, there was something that affected the soul and Isaac was completely unaffected.
This is also like one of the things to Val and Isaac, by the way. It's this amazing combination of sci-fi and magic.
Yes, I love it very much.
You can have eldritch horrors and like omnipotent beings. And
you have like ultra advanced AI.
Exactly.
Black holes.
We're talking about like seduction magic, right? I think people who haven't read this webcomic are like, we're very confused when we started talking about that one.
I will see, we have been a little bit disorganized in talking about it, but...
Well, this is largely for the people who have already read it.
Yeah.
Though, I should have probably started out with like this thing that Calamity/Dan asked, which is there anything you think new readers should look out for while reading? A certain character's arc, little hints of foreshadowing, etc.?
Yeah, I'm honestly not sure.
I think it's helpful to try to keep track a bit of like Val's family.
Yeah.
I had a kind of a hard time really understanding what was going on with that in my first read through.
Yeah, well, the thing is, it only comes up ever so like.
Yeah.
Every so often.
Well, a big thing is, as I mentioned, the other characters, they all like interact with their family, but Val doesn't interact with her family at all.
Yeah, almost never. There's a.
Only Vera.
Yeah, there's a few comics for Vera, but those, I think main interaction she has with Vera is like back in the doodle times, kind of.
Yeah, most of them are.
Yeah, and then there's later on, there's an interaction between Vera and Dredd.
Yeah, that's a great moment.
And where that's where most of Val's backstory is actually relayed.
Mm-hmm.
With the whole, like, the Empire falling and the rest of her family escaping, but she stays behind with her mom.
There's this great moment when Minho asks to Carla, like, what's up with Val's mother? And
Carla she jumps out of a window. Oh, no.
That part is just... that backstory is a bit hard to follow, especially because you have the idea that, like, Val's mother is a terrible person, but that doesn't really seem to be the case.
I'm not so sure. I do feel like Val's mother has done some terrible things. There's hints of, like, domestic abuse, just in general, like, an abusive relationship.
Oh, for sure.
Very high expectations.
I think that's just the most complex thing going on. I think she's gonna go through, like, a redemption arc.
It's hard to say, but... Yeah, Val is effectively terrified of her mother, but also extremely loyal to her mother, or at least seemed to have been that way.
Yeah, she was extremely loyal. Like,
she keeps her mother's old helmet, too.
Val used to be her mother's favorite.
Yeah.
Early on in her life, that's basically actually meant that, like, they had a pretty good relationship in a lot of ways.
Yeah, she got read, like, the bedtime stories and stuff. And
yeah.
Vera was jealous.
But it just broke apart as, like, Val's mother got more into the whole fascism deal, you know?
Yeah. So Val basically got trained to be what they call an Infinite. That seems to be, like, the elite troops of the Empire. And she got rigorous training for this. She got...
Yeah.
There's this one comic of just... I think it's, like, Mother's Day or something. Or her Father's Day or something. Like, and then so you see all the characters interacting with, like, their parents. Or in some cases with their children. And then you see, like, Val's is just, like, Val doing push-ups with one arm, and her mother saying, again, and then she's like, yes, madam, or something like that, yes, commander. She, like, almost misspeaks and says mom, but instead she says, like, commander or something.
Yeah, that one is very good, because, like, all the other characters are having, like, fun rhyme scheme things, and just having a good time together, while, like, the parents are teaching the children stuff, right?
Yeah.
And they're doing that with, like, just having fun. And then that's how it ends, and it's very dark.
Yeah, this comic gets quite dark about Val in general.
Mm-hmm.
Random thing for me to say right now, Val is short for Valor, because her name is Valor.
Yeah, she's Valor Vol's daughter, which is the most easy to remember name in the entire webcomic.
Isn't she Vanya's daughter then or something?
No, that's her dead name, basically. That's her previous name.
I see, because yes, her mom is named Vanya.
Yeah, but she doesn't want to have her mom's name anymore.
Yeah.
She wants to change to her father's last name. It's Icelandic naming scheme, except...
Yeah, it's like daughter of... I've played enough Crusader Kings to know how this works.
The character names are great, though. All of them are great, honestly. Easy ones are like Zuri Star, but like all the main characters just have ridiculous names.
They're so good. There's Space Dread just got her name. So Space Dread's name is like a nickname, a code name, right? And Minho's name is also a code name. And at some point they ask each other, like, where did you get this name? And then it turns out that they both got it from like the same online like MMO.
Yeah.
We said, hey, this was my name in this game. And like, oh my gosh, it still works. I can't believe my account is still active. Like, it hasn't been deleted.
Yeah. Oh, that's also relatable with MMOs, though.
It's very fun.
The nostalgia, though.
RuneScape is that for me. I'm sorry.
The way virtual worlds in this are used is generally very fun.
Yeah.
Especially because this is like one of the really lovely things when Val builds up a relationship through virtual reality. And then meets her girlfriend in real life later on. It's really good.
Her girlfriend is super surprised that she actually looks like that in real life.
Yeah.
She thought she was being like sort of catfished. She's like, well, why wouldn't you use, like, you could be using a different avatar, right?
No, she was like, are your apps real too?
Yeah, and it's so good. it's my favorite part of that is that comic is them taking on like a contract that barely, like, so... Her girlfriend needs some pest exterminated that's, like, annoying the construction site she works at. And it's, like, a contract that barely covers, like, travel expenses. But, of course, Val just wants to see her girlfriend.
Yeah, it's so good.
And she doesn't tell her crew about it. And then she just sends her crew out on the planet to do stuff while she deals with the problem.
Yeah, just have fun.
And then at the very end, it's, like...
Isaac was excited, though. He got to go to the crochet emporium.
Yeah, it was so good.
And he and Minnow ended up in like an evil crusade dimension. He had the time of his life.
And then in the end, Minnow was like, so how'd the extermination job go? And Val's like, And then Minnow's like, you are getting late. It's so good.
Oh, all of these relationships were just so perfect.
Kind of an interesting aspect early on is that, like, at the start, Minnow has a crush on Val.
Yeah, a little bit.
Not but just a little bit, it's very obvious.
Well, yeah, it's like a few pages.
Yeah, it is only a few pages, but...
Oh, I love this moment where Minnow just makes Val lift stuff to just be able to look at her, like,
maybe
muscles.
We should get a lift bot. Minnow is just looking intently at, like, sweaty Val, like...
God, she's just so gay.
It's the gayest, it's so good.
It's fun. Every single character in this thing is queer. Like,
yeah, I don't think there's a single cishet character in this entire comic.
It's I can't remember any.
None of the like main or supporting cast are cishet, as far as I can tell. Like even
it's pretty hard to say. I mean, like maybe Zuri, but we wouldn't know.
Even Zuri is like ultra sexual. That's Zuri.
We don't know what she wants herself.
Even like Isaac's sister Flo gets a girlfriend.
Yeah, Flo is great. I love Flo so much. Almost as much as Coffee Machine.
Yeah, oh, Coffee Machine is so good.
They travel together.
Yes. They go on an adventure.
No, Flo has always been extremely gay.
Mm-hmm.
Like they make it really explicit for all the characters very quickly. It's very fun to watch, actually, because Minnow actually dated boys as a kid.
Yeah.
As a teen, right? But when Val was dating, she was exclusively dating women, because she apparently clearly knew that she was gay.
She even dated Dredd for a while.
Yeah. Not too long, though, as far as I can... Like,
no, just a few comics, really.
I think it was literally just one, where they went on one date and were like, yeah, this didn't work out.
I think there was one more, but yeah.
I think we should also talk this, this is actually the last question on my list here, which is Feline, if that's how I pronounce your name, wants us to talk about Val and Isaac's relationship a bit more. She'd like to see it more fleshed out, suggests that they have like a sort of sibling thing going on, which I think sounds about right.
Yeah, I think that like they greatly care for each other. Just Val in general deeply cares for the crew. Even,
yes.
Like, despite sometimes her being, like, snarky or being, like, every single, like, slight disagreement is treason or insubordination or something.
Every single disagreement is mutiny.
Yeah, it's a returning thing. But she deeply cares for the crew, and she does not want them to sing Happy Birthday at the restaurant, and then they do anyway.
yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Much.
Val generally deeply cares for the whole crew. And it's, mm-hmm. For me, it's hard to say exactly what kind of, it's definitely like a found family kind of situation.
Yes.
So I would say that like siblings is kind of an accurate descriptor of the relationship between Val and Isaac.
Yeah, I mean, it would make like the most sense, but I also feel like we don't quite see them interact all that much.
No, not too much, really.
And I realized that in my read-through, I kind of skipped through some of the most important parts where like, Isaac gave Val a sweater and stuff.
Yeah, Isaac gave Val. There's like, the quantum sheep. And she's like being destroyed by it. And then later, Isaac gives her a sweater made of like quantum sheep wool or something.
Yeah.
And it's like a very casual gift from him. But she's just been like almost murdered by one because they're apparently really strong. But Isaac just has a sweater made out of quantum sheep wool. It's always very funny, like, also just things that are really intimidating to one of them can be extremely mundane to the other.
Yeah, that's just a recurring joke throughout this whole thing. At one point, Doris and Minnow go to a haunted house, and yeah. Doris is a robot, which is kind of important to know for this story.
We really are, like zigzagging through this comic right now.
Yeah, but that's what the webcomic itself does as well, right?
I know, it's very appropriate.
It's extremely appropriate. Zigzagging through Val and Isaac. But like, Doris is extremely scared of the haunted house, and not because the ghost is scary, but because it's working on an outdated operating system. It's so stupid, but it's like, it's just all the time. These characters always, like, this webcomic finds so much humor in characters responding differently to different situations.
It's very good. There's also just the way the mix of like fantasy and sci-fi works out sometimes. There's another Tumblr ask of someone like, how did Isaac get off his home planet? And just the answer is just with the spaceship.
Yes.
Like, how did Isaac the wizard get off the magic planet? Well, he used the spaceship, of course.
How did Isaac get off his medieval fantasy planet?
Yeah, there's also the part where he like gets a new professor, Professor Carmage, and he's like, "What's a car?"
Yes, so good. Oh, I forgot that one. I hadn't reached that one.
Oh, Carmage. Carmage is good.
Yeah. Oh, what else is there? Did you have any questions? I feel like you had one, right? I think we've honestly hit, like, already most of the things in this thing.
I don't know. I would love to gush about Minnow for another 20 minutes. Minnow is so good. She is just my favorite character. She is my favorite character of all time, perhaps. She's just too good. There's this one comic where she's a baby, and as a baby, she just goes morb, morb, morb.
Yes.
And it's like, why does she do that? Who knows?
But she's so extremely cute. I only
she's
noticed
adorable.
Today just how cute she looks in the other panels in that same comic as well.
She is so good. She is the best. There's also, like, because she doesn't know what species she is. So she's like an orphan, and she has these two dads who found her.
They call it a lastling, right? The last
yeah, endling.
Person of a specific... An endling, yes.
Yeah, they're like, ah, oh, have you been to the endling seminar, like, last week? And she's like, sigh, yeah.
Just being the last person of your species.
Yeah, so, like, she doesn't know what her species is. And so at some point she sees, like, a magical girl, like, anime. And she's like, oh, I'm like that one. Because that one also looks like kind of like a Finding Nemo, like clownfish kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she can fly. So then she's like, oh, let's jump off a roof.
Yep.
And she just gets hurt, of course.
I think she breaks a leg, literally.
Yeah, she gets like really hurt. And then her friend is like half crying, putting like band-aids on her. And she's just like, ah, oh, just say I bumped into a door.
Her childhood friend is so upset.
Oh, it's so sad.
She's such a cute character, too. I want to see her more.
All of the characters are cute.
All of them are.
Everything is cute in this comic. Even the things that aren't... Oh, my gosh. Now I'm thinking of the little aliens that are like, are they dangerous? No, but they're extremely evil.
Oh, my God. How have we not mentioned the most important aspect of Minnow's personality?
Yeah, she loves cute animals.
The obsessive need to pet every animal she comes across.
Every adorable little creature, she must pet it, including the creature that multiplies every time you pet it.
Yeah, that was probably a problem.
She just has like, she starts with one, and then, like, two panels later, she's just covered in a pile of them.
No, literally one panel later, honestly.
Yes.
I also love the time when she, like, befriended a dinosaur and gave the dinosaur a gun. It's
Yeah, it's, oh, I've got this in my notes, in the Minnow corner. Let me see. Her name is Cupcake. But no, she's like, so, Isaac has like a very rare befriend animal potion or something.
Yeah.
And Minnow just like steals that and uses it to like befriend the dinosaur.
It's very good.
It is so good.
I mean, it is great. We have hardly scratched the surface with all the great things that happen in there.
The Minnow content is endless.
Yeah, especially with, like, her childhood and the first time she meets Doris and, like, all of that.
All of the adventures they go on, like, highly recommended. It's so good.
Oh, yeah. There's, like, 3 heists in here and all of them are amazing.
Yes.
Minnow is an incredible hacker, too, by the way.
Yeah, Minnow is just, like, the tech person.
Yeah. You kind of needed that because I think like the original idea might have been that Val is like the tech person. And
Val is not the tech person. Val is someone who doesn't understand Facebook.
Val is literally like allergic to technological implants.
Yes. That one was so itchy.
The only technology that Val can work with is guns.
That she, oh my, she like never uses the same gun. She uses so many different guns.
Yeah.
She, of course, goes through, like, extended disarming a lot.
Yeah.
Val is just ready to go. And
I love that scene where Minnow, where she's like, we need a stronger gun, we need more gunpowder. And Minnow's like, well, I did this thing where I combined 12 guns into one. And then Val is like, that is highly irresponsible of you. And Minnow is like, I can see you're laughing, you're smiling.
Yeah.
Val is so happy with the idea of shooting a big gun.
Yeah, Val just loves guns and violence.
There's honestly a lot of death going on in this webcomic, but it's always just so silly.
Yeah, it's such a... It's all of it's played all very, played very lightly.
Well, it is pretty smart in knowing how to handle death. when it comes to like all these side characters dying, right?
I mean, it can get somewhat gory. There'll be blood and stuff, and like disembowelment and stuff, but like not in a way that's like disturbing. I feel
you rarely really feel all that bad about the characters who get killed.
Yeah, it also makes a good point if like everyone who gets killed kind of deserves it in a way. Or, like, doesn't get enough character for us to be attached to them in any way.
I love this moment where this one captain of, like, a pirate ship was about to, like, blow up his entire crew, but Uno, the first card, he get blown up, and it just works out really well.
Yes.
But in general, like, there's one comic where Phase Red is, like, counting all the robots she's killing.
Yeah, she's counting her kills, yeah.
Yeah, she's counting her kills, and in that case it was like robots, just so you don't feel bad about the fact that they're killing so many people, because
they're
killing 100 people.
Space Dread is counting, and then to like Val, and then she says to like Val, like, yeah, so I've got this many, and Val's like, I'm not participating in your games, but also I had this many more kills than you did. Like, yeah, I'm not childish like you. Also, I had this many more kills. It's just so good.
I think the last thing we might need to mention real quick is that Wizard Ball exists.
Wizard Ball, yeah. It's just Wizard Sports. It kind of reminds me of Grudgeby in Owl House.
Well, the main thing is that's cool is about how all the characters are just extremely competent, and that especially goes for Isaac, who's just ridiculously good at what he does.
Isaac is just unstoppable, really.
And when he gets real with Wizard Ball, he's just completely unstoppable.
Yeah, he just goes out of his way to traumatize the other team captains, so to get the advantage, and that's allowed.
Yeah.
Not against the rules of Wizard Ball.
Technically not against the rules.
Yeah.
But I think that's a wrap, honestly.
That was quick.
Yeah, an hour goes by real fast.
Yeah.
Usually I ask, I guess I can ask it anyway. Where can people find you on the internet?
Mostly on Discord, but honestly don't. Don't find me. I do not wish to be found. I will appear when you need me most. I'm like a wizard, you know?
Yes, that's what I need in my life. Where you can find me is on my website, maplestrip.space. I'm on Discord, of course, the Alchemist Discord. And this podcast you can find on all the podcasting apps. The music you're listening to right now is Our Heroes by Sister Parish. No clue when the next episode will come out. And that's this episode's all done with.
Woo!
Thank you so much!
I hope I did a good job.
I think you did a great job.
Is this the part where I stop recording?
This is the part where we're gonna stop recording.